Welcome everyone to our Easter Day worship celebration. Just a couple of things before we start. I'd ask you to hold Alan and Dawn in your prayers, as Dawn is now receiving palliative care and has had all her medication stopped. They have both been members of our church since we began in Skegness. On Tuesday I conducted the funeral of Mike Darby at Boston Crem. It was a very sad day for Dot and all her family and friends. On a better note, it was Peggy's 93rd birthday on Wednesday. Elsie and I paid her a short visit and took her a card that we've all signed and a pot plant, also an Easter egg. Dave, her son and other members of the family were there and Peggy was just so happy. It was a real joy to visit her. Peggy actually was at the first service we held at the County Hotel in 2009. Thursday was Stuart's birthday, and so he and Dot graced us with their presence, and we all shared some birthday cake. Well, happy Easter to everyone. Our service will commence shortly, but before it does, I would remind you that we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper, and if you notice on the song sheet, there is a responsive call to worship. So please join in with the words in bold type. We will now prepare to worship the Lord on this special day. We read in Luke's Gospel. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen laying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. May the light of Christ rising in glory dispel the darkness of your hearts and minds. Let us now sing, "Jesus Christ is risen today."
Amen.
We're here to rejoice. We're here to give thanks. We're here to worship God, the giver of life. For today we remember that day which transformed the course of history and which across the years has transformed countless human lives, Easter Day. The day on which evil, sorrow and suffering, even death itself, were finally defeated. A day that makes every day and every moment a new beginning. Without Easter, there would be no gospel, no message, no church, no faith. Without the empty tomb and the risen Christ, the whole story of Jesus would be a tale of tragedy rather than triumph. A mirror of this world's ultimate impermanence, rather than a window to the eternal purpose of God. No wonder we celebrate. And what better way to do that than to meet the risen Jesus afresh and open our lives to his renewing power? Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, it was not just you who was broken that day you hung on a cross. It was your disciples too, their hearts broken just as surely, their dreams and hopes snuffed out, their faith cut from beneath them and laid to rest. It was not just you who rose again that day you emerged from the tomb. It was your disciples too, their hearts beating once more with joyful anticipation, their vision for the future reborn, their faith rekindled, bursting into unquenchable flame. Come now to us, where we are broken, where love has died, where hope has faded, where faith has grown cold. Reach out and touch us in body, mind and spirit, and help us to walk in the newness of life, which you alone can bring. In your precious name we ask it, for you are the risen Lord. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. So let us sing again. He is risen.
Roll away the stone.
Well, what is Easter? Well, I'm sure if you asked 100 people at random, well over 50% would have no idea of the religious aspect of Easter, especially young people and children. Christianity and all it means is being taught less and less in schools. I remember some years ago reading about a survey which found that 53% of children thought Easter was the birthday of the Easter Bunny. Is that surprising when you look at the commercialization of Easter? Most of the Christian festivals, especially Easter and Christmas, have been so commercialized that they appear to have lost their religious background. Personally, I don't mind Easter eggs, especially Cadbury's mini eggs. And if you think about it, eggs are about new life breaking out of the shell, as Jesus broke out of the tomb to bring us all new life. Well, seeing is believing. Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus. After his resurrection, Jesus was seen by his friends and many other people too. He talked with them and shared a meal with them. That was how he showed the disciples he was really alive. This morning, we hear again what the resurrection of Jesus means for us today. It means that despite everything that is wrong with this world, despite anything that we have done wrong, anything we are suffering in our own lives, we have the hope of a new life. Whoever we are, we can be reborn into the living hope because Jesus is alive and living among us day by day. We see the living proof of his rebirth in the Easter symbols, the empty cross, the empty tomb. New life, a fresh start, a time for renewal, new birth into a living hope. That is the Christian message of Easter. The resurrection is the crux of the Christian faith. And our Christian hope is solidly rooted in a past fact, the resurrection of Jesus. It's based on our present experience, our experience of Jesus in our lives. And it's a hope that we can joyfully maintain in the light of a future promise, the promise of eternal life. A past fact, a present experience, a future promise. You know, I never tire of listening to or reading all the accounts from the different Gospels of that first Easter Sunday. So let's hear again the account of the first Easter morning, this time from the Gospel of John.
The reading is from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen wrappings, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen wrappings, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture, which said that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, Mary bent over and looked in the tomb and saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it that you are looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. So she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," this means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. See Mary weeping where he is laid, as in sorrow she turns from the empty tomb. Hears a voice speaking, calling her name. It's the Master, the Lord, raised to life again. The voice that spans the years, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us, will sound till he appears. For he lives. Christ is risen from the dead. See what a morning, glorious and bright, with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. Let's sing, "See What a Morning."
Shall reign with him, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead.
know, I just love that worship song. Well, actually, I love all the wonderful Easter hymns. In the days following the resurrection, Jesus continued to appear to his disciples. The gospel accounts vary about the appearances, but that's not surprising. This whole event came as quite a shock and would have left everyone in a total state of confusion. But words spread rapidly, and in our next account from Luke's gospel, we find two of the disciples who had seen Jesus telling the others what had happened.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 to 43. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and whilst they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I don't think we can ever begin to imagine just how those first disciples must have been feeling. The crazy thing is that they should have known this was going to happen. As Jesus reminded them, it was written in their scriptures. Jesus himself had told them. But this was all too much. How could the very Son of God suffer so much? How could he rise again? How could he love them after all that had happened? Wow, even now we can find it hard to believe. How marvellous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. Let's pray. Risen Lord, in the stillness and wonder of this moment, we hardly dare to believe that you are indeed alive. Yet our hearts are filling with faith, hope and love, and our souls are beginning to believe. Wonderful Lord, we fall on our knees with thanksgiving. How marvellous, how wonderful is your love for us. Amen. Let's sing. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
amazing God, we praise you that from the silence of an empty tomb, a message of joy has spread around the world. From the brutality of a death on a cross, healing love has touched the whole of creation. From the initial uncertainty of the first disciples, your church has grown and reached out in faith to all. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for life. Thank you, Lord, for everything. But Lord, we are so sorry for the times when we stay in the tomb of our lack of belief and fill it with our fear. Forgive us and release us to be your witnesses in your world today. We're sorry for the times that we are skeptical when others share the power of the resurrection in their lives. We're sorry for the times when we live as if there were no Easter. Forgive us and release us to be your witnesses in the world today. Lord, we just thank you that Jesus is alive. Death is overcome. We are freed from sin. Our new lives can begin. Jesus is alive. On this joyful Easter day, Jesus is alive. From death to eternal life, from earth unto the sky, our Christ has brought us over with hymns of victory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Alleluia. Let's sing again. The Day of Resurrection. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For he did not come to judge the world, but to save it. You know, at Easter we especially remember those who have died, and we pray that they have received eternal life and peace. So let us in a moment of quiet remember those known to us. Let us pray. This Easter day, Lord, we think of how much the gift of life and salvation we are offered means to us. We think of the joy and hope that you, our God, offer us, and the purpose you give to our lives. We think of your Son, Jesus, who faced pain, torture, and humiliation, and did it all for us. We think of how we can follow his example of care, love, and service to others, and obey your call on our lives. We think of our calling to bring change and share his love at home, at school, at work, where we volunteer, or wherever we are. This Easter day, Lord, we look around the world at the pain and suffering that continues. We look to you, our God, to bring light into darkness and replace despair with hope. Lord, we pray for ceasefires and ultimately for peace in Gaza, Ukraine, and Sudan. We pray for leaders to think of humanity and to value equal every life as equal and precious. We pray for comfort for those who have lost homes, belongings, family, friends, and hope as a result of war and conflict. This Easter day, Lord, we pray for all those who are suffering in our own nation. We pray for those who have been injured in incidents and accidents, and those whose holidays have turned into times of sadness. We pray for those who face financial challenges and the fear of losing their jobs. We pray too for those held in the grip of addiction and substance abuse, and those who are sliding back into reliance on drugs and alcohol. We pray for those facing tough decisions and all who are ill and in pain. We ask that you speak into people's lives and show them ways to cope and to thrive. This Easter day, Lord, we bring to you all those we know and love who are sick, full of sorrow, loneliness, grief, or despair. In the stillness, we bring you their names. Thank you, Lord, for listening to our prayers and for answering them in your good time and your way. This Easter, Lord, we reflect on the need for quiet and peace in our busy lives. We reflect on all that we do in our churches to serve our communities and the need for rest. As we spend a few moments in peace and silence now, help us to reflect personally on all your goodness to us and the many blessings we have. Help us reflect on the times and moments when we have felt you close to us and seek those moments again. And so, Lord, we just pray for ourselves in this moment of quiet. Lord, give us peace in our communities, churches, families, and lives. Lord, we know that you touch every heart with your eternal love, filling each seemingly hopeless situation with the promise of resurrected, everlasting hope. Lord, the news of your rising was so amazing that even your closest friends struggled to believe it at first. We pray for all those we know who struggle to believe and trust in you. We ask you to help them ponder the evidence, just like Peter did, and to think seriously about what they see. Help us to show them, by our joy at your resurrection, that new life in Jesus is for everyone forever. And so, Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of you, our gracious God, and we do so in the name of the risen Christ, our Saviour. Amen. So now on this special day, as remember all that Jesus went through for our sakes, his death and rising again. And once again, we bring our offering to that same Lord. Let us pray. Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. And Lord, on this most special of days, we once again say thank you with all of our being. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We now prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and before we do, we reaffirm our faith by saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. Let's say together, Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised. What have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us, that these gifts of bread and wine may become for us your body and blood, healing, forgiving, and making us whole, and that we may become for you your body, loving and caring in the world, until your kingdom comes. Amen. The Lord Jesus, among friends, gathered round a table on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." And look, here is your Lord coming to you in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, and his blood, which was shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now share the bread and the wine. The body of Christ keep you in God's love for eternity. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. So let us now say together, Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. Take us, shake us, remake us. No longer is what we have been important. It is what, with you, we can be starting now. Amen. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the infant church in Corinth, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." You know, the dying and rising of Christ is the decisive event of history. It's this decisive event that shows us that God is always at the centre of everything, including death. Christianity revolves around this one decisive event. Christianity isn't about our religious knowledge or expertise. In this fragile life, we need someone to bring us alive from our human situation, bounded by death. And only someone who brings resurrection, who is the resurrection, can do this. We need someone who defeats death. Living in this broken world, people know defeat all too well. Everyone has experienced a relationship where someone let them down, or in a situation that didn't work out the way they'd hoped. Anyone who says they haven't is living in a dream world, not facing facts. These moments of disappointment or frustration reveal the tragic fact that this world is deeply flawed. Even though believers live in the hope of the resurrection and the victorious life that Jesus promised through his Holy Spirit, God still calls us to live in this world where we experience death, brokenness, mourning and pain. All this is in complete contrast to the coming kingdom. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 24, verse 4, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Jesus' resurrection reveals to believers the true way to life. Those who think that the abundant life consists of finding one's way around suffering and hardship have a misguided perception of what Jesus promised. Jesus' life and example teach us that the way to a full life consists of service, hardship, opposition, pain, and suffering. Believers look at Jesus' life and see that God's best plan for his Son was to stay close to him through the most unimaginable of circumstances. The New Testament shows many times over that God was with his Son until the end, when Jesus took our sin upon himself and suffered on the cross. But the good news is, God didn't leave his Son in the grave. Because Jesus submitted to the point of death and then defeated death, he paved the way for all people to find eternal life. By submitting himself to death, Jesus found life. Jesus said, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." It's only in surrendering to his will and his way that believers actually find the fullness of life as God intended it. Giving is the key to gaining. In all of this, Jesus is victorious. He was, is, and will always be undefeated by sin and death and by the grave. His victory is found in the fact that he was and is a selfless servant. In graciously giving his life, he also created a pathway to the life that is truly life eternal. Do you realize that there's only one holiday we celebrate at the break of dawn? And that's, of course, Easter. It's the day when, at dawn of a brand new day, the world first heard the news that God had raised Jesus from dead. That first Easter morning changed everything. Because of the events of Easter, you can have a brand new start in your lives, all because of God's mercy. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 78 we read, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." The problem is, most people don't understand the mercy of God. Some are even afraid of God and avoid him as a result. Yet they desperately need his mercy. You know, I believe there are three major times when we need God's mercy. Firstly, we all need God's mercy when we've messed up. You know, no one is perfect. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." You know, I don't measure up to God's standards, much less to my own standards. Neither does anyone. We desperately need to hear how the Lord responds when we mess up. Remember when the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery to Jesus and were trying to trap Jesus into saying something they could use against him? But Jesus didn't condemn her, and neither did he condone her actions. He protected the woman's dignity. He showed her mercy. We need to see Jesus in this light. We need to know that Jesus not only shows us mercy when we've messed up, but he treats us with dignity, no matter what we've done. How does God respond when we ask him for mercy after messing up? Well, God's mercy forgives and frees us. God's forgiveness takes care of our past guilt. The freedom he provides gives us the power to change our future. You know, so many people are stuck in the past. They can't move on with the future because they can't let go of the past. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, which of course Jesus later quoted, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom from the captives, and to release from darkness the prisoners." You know, so many people are held captive to resentment, envy, worry, and more. They long to hear that Jesus can release them. So secondly, we need God's mercy when we don't have what we need. None of us has everything we need. We're all finite and broken. God did that intentionally to help us realize that we need other people, and more importantly, we need him. But sometimes, instead of drawing us towards one another and towards God, our weaknesses make us angry and lead to disappointment. It's not much different from the paralyzed man Jesus healed in John 5. The paralyzed man had waited 38 years for a miracle. He wanted a walk. When Jesus asked him whether he wanted to be healed, the man responded, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." You can read the frustration and the anger in his words. He was blaming other people for his pain. Many people have also waited as long as 38 years or more for God to meet a need in their life, and they're angry and they're blaming others. In their pain, Jesus doesn't dismiss them. He reaches out with mercy, just like he did with the paralyzed man. How does God respond when we come to him with our needs? Well, God's mercy makes the impossible possible. Jesus simply told the man, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." After 38 years of waiting, that's exactly what the man does. Only Jesus makes the lame walk. He has power we don't have. And the Apostle Peter writes, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness." People are hungry for the only power that meets their real need, and often long-lasting needs of their lives. And finally, we need God's mercy when we're facing death. You know, only fools go all the way through life unprepared for what they know is inevitable. Death is universal and unpredictable. But it's also scary for people who haven't yet accepted the mercy of God. In the story of Jesus' crucifixion in Luke 23, we read about two different responses to the fear of death from the criminals hanging beside Jesus. One criminal ridiculed Jesus, saying, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal defended Jesus and asked for his mercy. You know, so many people scoff at the work of Christ. Often it's because they have heavy hearts when they think about death. They won't admit it, but their fear of death clouds how they view God today. And many blame God when they lose someone dear to them. Yet others, like the thief who asked for God's mercy, are ready to bet everything on Jesus. For them, there's good news. God's mercy will save us for eternity. That's what Jesus promised the thief on the cross. He said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." My dear friends, the message of Easter is that all who receive the mercy of God will spend forever with God, an eternal life of love and peace. That's the good news we proclaim on Easter Day and every other day of the year. God's mercy changes everything, but only if you accept his mercy by declaring that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and accept him as your Lord and Saviour. Then, as our Bible study passage for this week says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I say amen to that. Amen. Yours is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory over death that you've won. Let's sing, "Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son." Let us pray. As we celebrate your victory, Lord, go before us this week into every situation that we face. Give us new eyes to encounter your freshness and new life. Help us to remember that your resurrection is forever, not just for one day. Thank you for being alive in us now. Breathe your Spirit into our hearts this week so that we may be faithful witnesses to all that you are and all that you have done. Now may God, who raised Jesus Christ from death, raise us all to a new life, new hope, and fill us with rich blessings now and for eternity. Amen.